Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a marauder. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him. The sheep hear his voice. As he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So he said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the wisdom of the Church, this mystagogy of the Easter season takes us through the reality of Jesus' risen appearances in that first octave, then the reality of baptism, next the reality of how the Lord wants us to have his risen life through that second octave of the eight-part Eucharistic catechesis. And now we get into the various ways in which God wants to relate to us, so that, as he tells us today, we might have his risen life, his Zoe, and have it to the full. The end of the first reading today, when St. Peter had given his testimony and was accepted, everybody concluded that the life-giving repentance would also be offered to all peoples, to all the Gentiles. God wants us to have that same life-giving repentance, that turn around, and this mystagogical catechesis is an opportunity for us to see those ways that we haven't related to the Lord, who's constantly seeking to give us that life, as he gives us a 70 times seventh chance to allow his life to come fully alive within us. I read today the two parts of the first, so there were three parts of this Good Shepherd Discourse that we break up for the successive Sundays each year. Yesterday we had the third part in year C. Today the Church allows us to choose between the first and the second part. And just like little petite Saint Thérèse, je choisis tout, I choose it all, just so that we can really sort of enter on in how the Lord wants to bring us fully alive through His being our good shepherd and our being His good sheep. And in these passages, He describes five different ways He wishes to relate to us. These are all life-giving ways. First, He calls us by name. Second, He guides us. Third, He feeds us. Fourth, He protects us. And fifth, He dies for us. Let's examine each of these five ways of what He does, then how we respond to it, and third, how He wishes to transform us with His life in each of those ways, that we can likewise become life-giving, good shepherds after His own shepherdly heart for others. First, He calls us by name. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He says about His ministry as the good shepherd, none of us is just another number. We're all personal with Him. He wants to enter into an I-thou relationship. Do we hear that personal call by which He seeks to bring us fully alive? Second, He guides us. He doesn't leave us on our own. He doesn't drop the Bible into our lap and say, figure it out. He comes down personally to guide us each day. He does that through prayer, which He whispers to us what we need to get through that day. He does it through others, especially religious superiors. He does it through the Pope, does it through the bishops, He does it through priests, He does it through good catechists, He does it through godparents, He does it through parents, biological and spiritual. But the Lord's constantly seeking to guide us each step so that we won't get lost, but we might always find life through His guiding us there. Third step is He feeds us. In that beautiful Psalm 23, it tells us that He prepares a banquet for us. He leads us to restful waters. He cares for our needs. Jesus, of course, cares for us physically in His providential care. We've never gone one day starving. When Pope John Paul II came to Denver in 1993 for World Youth Day. I don't know if any of you were there with me at the time, but the whole theme was, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And the vigil on the Saturday night was about how God in His providential care constantly gives us life, and that we should receive this gift with gratitude and act on it. The Lord's constantly preparing a table for us in the midst of our enemies, even giving us life even when everybody else wants us death. And He does that materially. He does that with His word, on every syllable of which we live. He does it most notably, as we know, when He gives us Himself as our food in the Holy Eucharist. Fourth thing Jesus says is He protects us. That no one can take us from His hand, that there are many thieves and robbers, but He sets Himself as the gate for the sheepfold, that in order to get to the sheep, in a sense, they have to go through Him first. Do we allow ourselves to be protected in that way? Or do we recognize that the Lord Jesus is the stronger man who seeks to defend us because He cares for us? He's not a hired hand, but He's someone who not only calls us by name individually, but loves each of us individually. And He goes out after each of us when we might be endangered, when we're lost, when we're on one of those rocky crags. The fifth thing He does is He dies for us, dies precisely to bring us alive. The only way that life-giving repentance would work is if the death that is brought by sin were somehow turned around. And the reason why we're able to sing about the happy sin is from the whole process of dying, Jesus flips it so that it can be a process of life. Because it's through the fallenness where we recognize we need someone to pick us up. It's through that experience of sin that we recognize we need a redeemer. It's through Jesus' dying that paradox is fulfilled, as he turns it into the path of our life, and that unless we follow him along this way of the grain of wheat, we will have no life. But if we die, we will have great life. This is the way the Good Shepherd seeks to relate to us, to bring us to life. How are we doing as his good sheep? Do we recognize that singular call that each of us has had? Hearing him call us by name, just as much as he called Mary Magdalene in the garden to share his life with us. Do we allow him to guide us, or do we prefer to do our own thing? Do we kick against the goad? Do we allow him to feed us in the manifold ways with which he seeks to nourish us? Or are we picky? Are we the gluttons for quality, even though we'd never be a glutton for quantity? Even though he protects us with his very strong outstretched hand, do we on our own wander from that hand from which the thieves and the marauders would never be able to take us? But do we walk that way of the prodigal son or that lost sheep, going away from the earshot of the Good Shepherd's voice in life? There are times in which we do, but to recognize God is protecting us, it's one of the most important things we do, to appreciate his action in our life. We're begging for that every time we say in the Our Father, don't let us fall when tempted and deliver us from the evil one. And then he dies for us in order that we might have life. This is, in a sense, the deepest source of our dignity, that God loved us so much to be able to do that for us. As a good sheep, do we permit him? We talked a little bit on Holy Thursday about the resistance we have to having our feet washed out of a false humility, that we really don't think that we're worthy to allow the Lord to do something like that, and yet he wants to. Do we allow him to lay down his life for us? And not just directly, but indirectly, through the care and the service he gives us through others' ministeriality. And then finally, Jesus wants to so transform us with his life in each of these five ways that we will be able to keep on his shepherdly ministry, calling others by name. You know, I appreciate when people appreciate the fact that I get to know every Sister of Life's name. And the reason is because a good shepherd just doesn't say sister. It would be foreign. And some of the times it's hard because you have too many Catherines. You have too many Anns. Everybody's got Mary, but you get used to that. But is it the first name or the second name? And then it's the confusing thing about which of the three names somebody has is actually the name that's used and all the rest of it. But it's worth it because God wants to have individual relationships. How important it is for us to be able to get to know the Lord's mystery with an individual. He wants us, as we mark this week of prayer for vocations in the church, kicked off yesterday, to be able to be his instruments to call people by their name. That the whole reason why we receive a name is so that we can have it as a vocative by which God can call us. And we are the ones who, knowing people's names, are able to call them to Jesus. Second, Jesus wants to so transform us by his life that we will become fitting, trustworthy, reliable guides for others, leading them along the right path all the way to life eternal. Sometimes we can be blind guides, to use another image that he has in the gospel, in which we don't really know where we're going. But because of who we are, others think we know where we're going, and we can lead them into the ditches alongside of us. Jesus wants constantly to recalibrate that guidance, for us to see him walking with us on the path and leading us sometimes down ways that we wouldn't prefer to go. But it's through those ways that Jesus is able to use us as signposts to point others toward that life in abundance. He seeks to have us so nourished by his life-giving nutrition that we can breastfeed the whole world, breaking up and digesting for others what he himself has given us so that they might be able to grow. He seeks to have us protect others, for you as spiritual mothers to become mama bears. And you do it especially for those who are least, those made in his image and likeness, whose lives are threatened. You do it by your prayer. You do it by your intercession. You do it by your conversations. You do it by your patience. You do it some of the time just by the vigil outside that something's happening in there, so that others seeing it might recognize that the Good Shepherd lives. And lastly, it's laying down our lives for others. Jesus has laid down his life for us so that, as St. John tells us in his first letter, we might lay down our lives for each other. This actually is the fullness of life, when we have the Lord's life so much inside that we're no longer afraid of giving our life for others in the small ways by which we serve them, or even in the supreme way. The martyrs, even while they were being tortured, burned alive, crucified, were never more alive, because they were full of Jesus' life as they were giving their life together with his to bring others fully alive. Jesus' will for us is that we will allow him as our good shepherd to bring us even now to that place of life, and so to change us that we might help him do the same for multitudes. And he restores us in this great mystery every single day at Mass. It's here he calls us each individually so that he might provide his guidance to us in his holy word, so that he might nourish us not just with his word but with his word made flesh, so that he might abide in us and protect us from within, and so that he might help us to learn this mystery of the death to self, so that we might become fully alive in him. This death to self that begins with life-giving repentance. This death to self that comes through a real loving service. This death to self so that we might never feel the victim, but might say with the Good Shepherd at the end of today's passage, "No one takes my life from me. I freely lay it down." Today, as Jesus freely says, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood given for you," he wants us freely to say, "You, Jesus, Good Shepherd, for you, out of love for you, here's my body and here's my blood, which nobody robs from me, but I give to you so that you might spend me together with you for the world's salvation, so that all might come to experience the fulfillment of the psalm and be led by you to verdant pastures where you wish to give us eternal loving repose. Praise be Jesus Christ."